Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Todd?
From eHarmony?
Yeah, yeah, what's up, man?
Not much. How have you been?
Good. It's early here. I just got up, man. I was thinking about you.
Where are you?
Los Angeles. Hey, so your profile still hasn't received any winks, even though I put that you've been to Phoenix.
Oh, I jumped out of a helicopter yesterday into the ocean and had a shark fight.
Yeah, listen, I was mentioning before people who daydream too much, they're not content.
No, it was real. It really did.
Really? Then I'll put down adrenaline junkie. What kind of a shark? Was it like a...
Hey, Todd, I can't really talk right now. I'm on my way to a volcano.
What the...
What is up, and welcome back to the Red Screen Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my friend and co-host and the person most likely to zone out at work thinking about the person he wants to be, Alex Perkins. Perk, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I never actually zoned in at work today.
Yeah, because you're there for extra hours.
Yeah.
That's rough stuff. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the Red Screen Movie Podcast, where every week we review a movie that was connected to the previous one we watched. If you like our show, be sure to share it with your friends. We post every Friday on all podcast services. But last week, we reviewed The Big Year, and we actually followed the composer of that movie, Theodore Shapiro, to the movie we're talking about this week, which is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Perk, why don't you enter the movie for us?
Yeah, all right. Secret Life of Walter Mitty is a 2013 joint directed by, I think, directorial debut for Ben Stiller. I'm throwing that out there with no backup at all. I just assume
I'll double check.
Okay. And it stars Ben Stiller and Kristen Wiig, and follows a guy who's never really done anything and kind of lives in his dreams, and then decides to, you know, track down a photographer and travel the world. And a couple fun facts for you. The drunken pilot says that there are like 8 people in Greenland. And when Walter goes to Greenland, he only sees 8 different people.
Love it.
Yeah. And then also all the Greenland scenes were shot in Iceland.
Makes sense. Greenland's kind of a hard place to access/film in, I would imagine.
Because there are only like 8 people.
I actually looked it up today. Greenland has the same population as Apple Valley, the city we grew up in. About 50,000
yeah.
people.
And they're all just like in port cities.
Yeah, just all spread around. Mm-hmm. By the way, Perk, you were way off on Ben Stiller. This was his 5th movie.
He directed before, 5 movies or 4 movies before this?
Including Zoolander.
I didn't know he directed Zoolander.
And Tropic Thunder.
Oh, I didn't know that either. All
and
right.
2 other kind of smaller things.
I took a shot in the dark, didn't pay off. Sometimes that's how it goes.
I've seen this movie before, so Perk, I'll throw it to you first. What did you think of this film?
I quite like this film. It's really charming. It's kind of a sweet movie, and you know, a lot of it feels kind of cut and paste from other stuff, but it has its own unique spin on everything. I think all the acting's good. I think the story's nice. It's like a fun mystery to follow. The directing is cool. There's actually some quirks to it. You know, unlike, you know, last week, The Big Year was a good movie, but they don't really try out too much. This movie does kind of take some editing risks and some weird nonsense, but yeah, I liked it overall. My only real gripe is the zone out scenes. They get I know why they're there, like, and they get fewer and far between as they move on, as he gets more involved with his own life. But they at the start, they kind of just felt like Family Guy cutaway gags. Where like they're really cool. Most of them are cool scenes, but it's like, Man, we've been on this Benjamin Button scene for a really long time.
that one goes a bit too long, I would say. One in particular.
And then yeah, there's definitely... that big fight. Who is he fighting? I forget.
Adam Scott.
Yeah, which feels like the Family Guy, the chicken bit, you know? Yeah, it just... So they do go away pretty quickly, and they're there to show that he's living in a different world. But yeah, I was a little taken out of it for the cutaway gags. Also, then he starts, I know that there was context for skateboarding, but then he starts like doing sick tricks on the skateboard, and I'm like, is he zoned out again? It's like, oh no, that's his one established skill. That's right.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that more as we move on here. But yeah, I love this movie. Like, I've seen it multiple times, and every time I watch it, I'm just reminded of how much I just fucking love this movie. I think it is, you mentioned the directing, I think it is the visual language of it. Like, having the texts, like, on things behind him as he's moving through the world. Or just transitions between scenes sometimes are really cool. Like, it's one in the beginning where he's looking at, like, the water picture, and then it turns to water, and then it, like, goes up, and it's the water behind where he's sitting, like, in the plaza. Stuff like that. We're just like, you didn't have to do that, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, isn't there one where, like, it's a boat, right? Where, like, the boat is, like, in the ocean, and then the backgrounds just kind of shift.
Yeah.
To essentially, like, fast travel. It's cool.
Yeah. All that stuff's awesome. I like the acting, and I just really like his character. I think he's very charming as a character. He's fun to root for. And I think the mystery is genuinely engaging. And, like, I don't know about you, but, like, the first time I watched it, no idea what the final picture was going to be. And also the flip twist that was in the wall the whole time completely got me. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, of course. And then, you know, he threw it away. But, you know, I don't know if you tagged it, but when he does throw it, his mom looks over at the trash. And, like, she... there's a kind of foreshadowing there that she tagged it, so...
So... Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely didn't put together that it was going to be in the wallet. I did have an inkling that it was going to be a picture of Walter. But only after I found out... I started thinking that after he got it back. Because I was full send thinking that they were just going to not have them find the picture. Which I thought it was going to be nice, but, like, a little disappointing. Like, one of those, like, yeah, this is probably the right way to do it, but now I'm bummed type of thing, so. But, yeah, no, I very much, like the little twists and turns towards the end.
I also think the music choices in this one are a lot better than in The Big Year. These ones feel more of a part of the story, especially, like, Major Tom in particular, that's a Space Oddity, that song. And then... when he's in Iceland, they use Monsters and Men, which are an Iceland band, which that was really cool. And just, like, the montage scenes, I think, just are a lot more fun because of the music. And I think I just really like the choices they made in this one.
Yeah, I think with the Major Tom song, it's a little different because I always forget. Major Tom is it non-diegetic or diegetic? Like, the Major Tom song happens in-universe, you know? So it's...
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the of Monsters and Men doesn't happen. Background. Yeah, right. So that's the distinction. I can't remember which one is diegetic and which one is non-diegetic. But, I thought the actual score parts of this movie were really nice. And none of the song choices really bothered me. The Major Tom motif was nice, and... Yeah, I did notice that it was of Monsters and Men, which a little meta, but I enjoyed that too. But yeah, I had no problems with the song choices at all.
And I also like the running bit of him talking to Patton Oswalt on the phone, even though it makes zero sense why he would have cell service on the top of the goddamn Himalayas, but it's like, I don't care. It's fun enough that it's not taking me out of it. And there it's funny, these little check-ins, you know?
Yeah, there were a lot of things in this movie where, like, if you think about it too hard, you're like, what? Like, everywhere he has cell service. It's like, no, you don't. And, no, both this movie and The Big Year had this thing where, like, only because I'm anxious about everything, I was like, logistically, how does any of this work? Like, you just, look, you would have been fired. You would have been fired by now for being gone for a week. And yeah, it's just you just found a plane to Greenland. You were just the only one. Fine, whatever. But yeah,
don't worry about it.
You absolutely can just hand wave all that nonsense away. But of course, since I'm just stressed out by everything, I'm like, but wait a second, how did he get home? Mm-hmm. Who booked that flight? Does he even have any money?
Don't worry about it. He's worked there for a long time. He's got money. I think the visual effects are really well done because they're not ever really in the forefront. Like in the big year, we talked about that hummingbird, right? That was like right in the center frame.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All the visual effects are kind of in the background, like, or even when they use stunt doubles, like the scene where he's showing Rick the tricks, he's in the background, kind of out of focus. And I kind of like that because he's not doing it to impress her. He's doing it to make this kid's day better.
Yeah.
And so they can get away with doing a stunt double because it's out of focus, but it also kind of informs the scene. And also stuff like Sean being on top of the airplane. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The only part where it stood out for me and looked a little dated is the, like the superhero scene or whatever when he's at the train station.
Oh, sure, sure.
CG is a little rough there, but like no rougher than like B-tier Marvel movies are nowadays. So,
right. And it's a cutaway scene too, so it's supposed to be a little bit like It kind of makes more sense. It's not trying to say this in the
animated.
Real world.
Yeah, almost animated on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, the CG wasn't distracting, which is all you ever really want it to be.
Yeah.
Also, sorry to tangent, but yeah, Sean Penn was in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
News to me, but he was great. I loved his relationship with Walter, and probably my favorite scene in the movie is the one where they're looking at the snow leopard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. And I like, too, they don't have to, like, drop onto exposition at the beginning of the movie of, like, how they became so close. It's like, he sends him the card, and just by reading, you understand the relationship, you know? And you understand that they have worked together for a long time and that they respect each other. And everything kind of makes sense after that. They kind of just drop you into this setting, which is a very unique setting. Like, I'm curious how Ben, or whoever the main creative on this, picked the End of Life magazine to, like, set this movie. Because, I mean, this takes place in 2013, or it was made in 2013. If I remember right, Life ended around, like, 2008. So, just, I don't know. It's not a setting I would ever, like, assume anyone would pick, but I think it works really well because the motto
gets
throughout the movie, and it's great.
It's a super interesting premise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not like guy daydreams because his job is boring. It's not like that at all. It has like an actual like inciting event, like, oh yeah, we're closing and we need that one last picture. So I appreciate that creativity. And yeah, what a wild, like, thing to pull out of nowhere. Just like, oh, yeah, when a magazine printed its last issue, it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's, like, a very, like, real, like, super, used to be super big magazine. We probably don't have a lot of connection to it because of our age, but I imagine it was pretty big back in the day because it was a part of Time as well, so.
Sure.
The last thing I'll say, too, is, like, I think we always joke about, like, rom-coms and, like, the meet-cute is always super just, like, annoying and unrealistic. This is one of the more realistic ones. Like, it's a person at work that just started working there. And it's like, yeah, I can buy that. And he overheard she's on this dating site.
Yeah,
and he gets
stalked
on, like,
her online. Yep.
Which is, like, Facebook or Instagram stalking people do these days, right? So it felt more natural than a lot of movies usually do. And then also going back to the daydream sequences, that's obviously a big part of this movie. I agree with you that some of them get a little bit too long or just a bit just not as interesting as probably Ben thinks it is. It feels like his style of comedy, though, if you think of like Tropic Thunder or like just kind of Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
You know, like the Benjamin Button one in particular, which is just fucking weird, but it's funny, but also goes on too long. But what I like about him is that in the beginning of the movie, he's daydreaming about this person he wishes he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, my thought is after, you see the first one, when he jumps in the building, the burning building, gets the dog, it's like, oh, okay, this isn't real, but it's kind of cool. And then it happens again and again, and you're like, oh, okay, like, I understand this isn't happening, so I'm not really invested in it. But then as his like journey goes, his life becomes as crazy as the daydream. So you're like, is this happening or not? Like when the shark is in the water, it's like, okay, like this is kind of shot similar to his daydream sequence. Like, is this actually happening? And I like that when he gets rescued, he's like, that actually happened. So like the daydreams start to pass because he's becoming the person he wanted to be. And I think that in and of itself is cool, but it's kind of tied in the story of the conversation he has with Kristen Wiig when he's outside the Papa John's in Iceland. And he talks about how he used to be kind of crazier, you know, with the Mohawk and skateboarding. But then after his dad died, he had to become more serious and he kind of had to put that part of himself away. And so that kind of, the way in my headcanon, that kind of manifested into him daydreaming about the person he might have been if he had like stayed on that path. Sure. So I might be like reaching too much, but I think that whole kind of character arc and setup, I think, is just fantastic to watch.
No, I think it definitely makes sense. Maybe my only gripe with like the idea of, you know, him daydreaming about who he wants to be is then like with the snap of a finger he just is that guy. It's not sure. That easy, okay? You don't just all of a sudden be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm jumping out of the helicopters and like skateboarding down volcanoes now. It's like that, like he was daydreaming like 2 days ago, full on, mm-hmm. and now he's like, you know what? Nah, I'm just a person.
Mm-hmm. But he is like encouraged. I mean, he is encouraged by Kristen Wiig and by the situation that he has to do it. And I think
it's also
that
like
helps
a movie.
Push
you know, you
and it's also
really,
a movie.
You can't really like work your way up over the course of months to like mm-hmm. actually doing things. You just got to be like, yeah, now I'm just a fully developed person. Mm-hmm. I sat in a white cube for the last 20 years, but yeah, I think I'll be a guy now.
But yeah, I think my favorite scenes in this movie are, the first one is when he decides to go and the picture of Sean O'Connell like beckons to him, mm-hmm. and we get the montage of him running and the life motto is showing up behind him as he goes like, to, you know, gets to the airport and gets on the plane. That's fucking, with the music, it's fucking beautiful. The scene where he talks to Kristen Wiig outside the Papa John's, and then when he does the Major Tom scene when he jumps on the helicopter, all that was just incredible. I absolutely love all that stuff.
Oh yeah, I like the, there's a lot of created, like we already mentioned, but the creative editing is really fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it adds like a special flair, you know, to kind of elevate what, it's already a good movie, but it kind of adds like mm-hmm. a nice aftertaste.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of comedy too, that besides the cutaways, like everything with the helicopter pilot, I think is hilarious. When he's,
oh, yeah,
like,
he's great.
Drunk off his ass. And he's like, so you're going to go fly that machine? He's like, yeah. He's like, I think there's a storm coming. He's like, yeah, I'm pretty worried about it. You know, and just like the silences are so good. And then also the scene when he's climbing the Himalayas with the two guides, and they're doing all the pointing shit of like, no, we're going down here and you're going up there. Like, that stuff was really funny. So yeah, I love this movie. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's much better than I was expecting, but I also didn't know what it was about. So I just, mm-hmm. you know, there wasn't much talk about it when it came out. So yeah. It's pretty underrated, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing the trailers, and like the first trailer I saw, I'm like, I want to watch that movie. Because I think it was, they showed in the trailer the longboarding scene, or part of the longboarding scene. And I'm like, yeah, I want to watch this. Because it's just gore. I mean, I'm glad they shot on location. Like, obviously, they kind of had to.
On location-esque.
Esque. And when they're in Iceland, they're in Iceland, all right? And when they're in Greenland, they're also in Iceland. But
when they're at Fjallraven-Gardenor, or whatever it's called. Sorry to all of our Icelandic listeners.
Oh, of course. And I keep talking about stuff, gushing about this movie. But like, I also like the kind of, just the motley crew of people he meets along the way. You know, like the helicopter pilot and the guys in the boat and the guides. Just like all the like the little people. And you're like, oh, this is great. Like, these, everyone's so nice and help. Like the guy who rents the car and he's like, oh, we got two cars and they're right there. Or the guy who rescues him from the volcano. All that stuff is just, it's very wholesome and fun.
I agree.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations based on this movie?
Hmm. So, as is becoming a common trend, I haven't thought about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me pose one to you, because I can't confirm it because I have not seen it, but you've seen it. would severance be an option because you got the Ben Stiller, Adam Scott connection once again?
No, not even close. Like, yes, they're both in it, and they're both great, and it is great, but for very, very different reasons.
I'm throwing it out there. Throwing it out there.
That's fair. I feel like I remember when I was watching it, I was like, there's a movie I want to recommend that I haven't seen. And the fact that I haven't seen that movie is probably why I can't remember it. We'll go with nothing.
Fair enough. I mean, I said last week that I'd recommend this movie after The Big Year, and vice versa. I think The Big Year and this movie are very similar.
I think it goes both ways. Both just like super poppy, positive, enjoyable movies.
Yeah. I personally prefer this one just because I think it is more visually interesting and more moving to me as a person, but
I prefer The Big Year for no reason other than spite.
Fair enough. That's right up your alley.
It's classic.
All right, well, that's our review for The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. But we got a lot of bonus reviews to get to, so let's start getting to them. Perk, I'm starting with you because you got a lot here. Do you want to do your movies or your shows first?
I'll just kind of go roughshod. I'm going to start with... I started, but didn't finish, Human Resources on Netflix.
Oh, sure. Are you a Big Mouth fan?
I am a Big Mouth fan. And if you're a Big Mouth fan, you'll be a Human Resources fan. It's just... So basically the premise of, because you haven't watched Big Mouth?
No, but I know the general what's going on.
Like in Big Mouth, they have hormone monsters and depression kittens and anxiety mosquitoes. And so Human Resources just more revolves around the like office space workplace where all these monsters like work together like their home base. So It's kind of like what if Inside Out, the Disney Pixar movie, was not at all made for children, not even a little bit. Don't even think about it. But yeah, so far so good. I'm enjoying it.
I'll start with also a show that I watched. A little show called Shorzy. Did you get around to this one yet?
I did. So this is also one of mine.
All right, so let's talk about it. Yes. So this is the Letterkenny spinoff. As you may know, listening to the podcast, me and Perk are big Letterkenny fans, spitting off one of the characters, Shorzy, who is known for talking a bunch of shit and chirping the most in Letterkenny. And he's off in a different town now, with a different hockey team. And when I first heard the premise of this show, when I was first announced, I'm like, this is not going to work. Like, Shorzy is not enough of a character to make an entire show off of. I don't know what Jared Kiso was thinking, right? Then I saw a couple trailers. I'm like, okay, this might work. Then I watched the show, and I'm like, this might be better than Letterkenny. I fucking love this show. I think it is fantastic. I think they build the world so quickly but so well. I mean, it's very similar to Letterkenny, but it's a different town. It's different, a different cast of characters, which I all love. I think it's shot fantastic. And it's shot a little bit different than Letterkenny. It's more, instead of the kind of, Letterkenny is more of a sitcom style at times, and they have like their sets that they go back to a lot. This is a lot more single cam. And I think the story is interesting, and it's, you know, hilarious. I fucking love this show, Perk. What did you think?
I also loved it. Basically, it has everything Letterkenny has to offer, but then way, way more stuff tied in for diehard hockey fans. So I'm glad to hear that you really liked it too, because there's a lot in there that are really good jokes if you follow hockey. So yeah, because it's funny to think, because I was in the same boat where I'm like, can they really make an entire show off of just Shorzy? But like, then like after watching, you realize, well, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure Jared Kiso was like a Canadian junior hockey player.
He was, yeah. So he cares a lot about all that stuff.
If anything, it's even like this stuff is even more down his wheelhouse, you know. So yeah. Write what you know, and man knows hockey. So yeah, no, and I very much enjoyed it. I think it's really cool how with just like a hair and a hair change and a fake tooth, like, it's not Wayne at all. Like,
is it fake? Because I was watching an interview. I think he might actually not have that tooth.
Well, it's possible. It's definitely possible. But, yeah, like, you drop one tooth and add a mullet, and like,
yeah,
you can't even mistake him for Wayne at all. It's just completely different character. Yep.
Which is incredible. Jerry Kiso is fucking brilliant. Actor and writer and all. Like, he is incredible. And the thing too of the show is it has so much heart, like more heart than Leonard Kenny has. I mean, it's equally funny, but I cried the last episode. Like, I did not expect to cry watching fucking Shorzy.
You get so emotionally invested in...
Yeah, that last episode fucking got me.
Things start going the wrong way. It's like, oh, wow. What do you know?
Yeah, I love the new cast. And the standouts for me are Hicks and Goody. Hicks is the Newfoundland guy.
Oh, Hitch.
Oh, Hitch, sorry, you're right, Hitch.
Hitch, yeah, and Goody, I agree with you. Goody's the guy who likes chicken.
He likes everything, dude. His entire, all of his jokes are just like, you ever had popcorn shrimp? It's so good. Just like, all that shit's hilarious. And I like Sanguinette being kind of the newbie and trying to learn the ropes, kind of, and how to be a coach. And just all, it's just, man, so good. I absolutely love it. I might rewatch it. Like this week, because I need more of it in my life.
I'll give it a little more space to breathe, but I'll probably watch it again soon as well. It's really fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Shorzy. Back to you, Brooke. What are you gonna talk about next?
Yeah. All right. So the reason I have so many bonus reviews is because went and visited my buddy in Santa Barbara, and that is a 3.5 hour plane ride and a 2 hour shuttle ride.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of time to stare at my phone. So yeah, on the way down there, my entire trip was the whole newest season of Demon Slayer.
Oh, you finally got to it.
Yes, I finally got around to it.
What'd you think?
I freaking love it, of course.
Dude, come on. The animation pops the fuck off. The whole like second half of that season is absolutely insane. Yeah,
all the fight scenes with the, you know, with like, the, what's his name, Tengen, the sword guy.
Yeah.
All of his fight scenes are so beautifully animated. Mm-hmm. And the, like, when Tanjiro combines the fire dance with the water breathing, like, the animation is, like, you could literally print it out and put it in a frame.
Yeah.
And then, so, I'll have you know, because I was able to finally watch the dub.
Mm-hmm.
The dub is once again very good.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I liked all the voices in the first season. Jack wasn't crazy about Inosuke.
Okay.
Which, whatever, I mean, I haven't watched the sub, so I can't really compare, but
mm-hmm.
I very much liked the voice actor of a spoilery demon.
Okay. Yeah,
if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think that voice actor killed it. Really, really good.
I'd be curious to see you compare, because I thought the Japanese voice actor also killed it.
Okay.
Just being very, very creepy and kind of like gross. So yeah, I'd be interested to see a comparison there.
Yeah, maybe I'm
glad to hear it, though.
Maybe I'll zoom over and check out the sub and see, just like listen along, because it's definitely it's an atypical kind of voice he goes for, but... it works. It really worked for me. So
yeah,
I loved it. Yeah, and I like that. I mean, are we okay to get spoilery?
Spoilers for Demon Slayer Entertainment District arc starting now.
I like that they didn't kill Jiraiya. Like, I didn't have to watch Jiraiya die this time.
They didn't do that to you 2 times in a row.
Because you know, I was assuming this was gonna be a, like, one-for-one type deal. Because I'm curious
how long... That's kind of set it up.
Yeah, I'm curious how long the show will go, because so far it has kind of seemed like one Hashira per season, and then they're gone. And in this case, he's gone again. Just a different kind of gone. Just retirement. But I like that they were able to kill an upper demon, even though it was the lowest, which I think is good. I think it's good that it was the lowest one.
And it took all four of them to do it.
It took all four of them and essentially killed two of them.
Yeah.
And
actually, all five of Nezuko fought too, which you had that transformation, which was really cool.
Holy shit, by the way. No, and I think that was good too, because specifically Nezuko was only able to beat the shit out of the weaker half of the lowest upper level demons. So power scaling wise, you know, she's not insanely overpowered just yet. But yeah, so I I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that they got to take a check mark out of the upper demons, because I was really, really bummed when Rengoku couldn't finish off, like, just couldn't quite finish off upper, it was upper three, right?
Yep.
But to be fair, he was only going to really be able to kill upper three because of the sun.
Yeah.
So,
it's, but he almost did it. Yeah.
He almost did, but yeah, so power scaling wise, you know, one Hashira can't take down upper three, even with the gang. One Hashira, with essentially dying, and the gang can take down the lowest of the uppers. So yeah. I think the power scaling still, it all checks out.
Yeah, I agree. I think Demon Slayer does a really good job with that, and I think it continues as someone who's read the manga knows what happens. I think it does continue. You're talking about the last two arcs have been very similar structure of the one Hashira per season. They mixed it up a little bit going forward, okay. And the show isn't as long as you might think it will be. There's only two or three more arcs.
Jack had said, like, yeah, it's only going to be like four seasons.
Yeah.
And maybe like a movie or two more, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm really, and they already, you know, announced, the next arc is confirmed. I don't know how that studio puts out the quality on the like speed they do. It is absolutely insane.
In the time frame.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Because it was under 2 years, right?
Yeah, I just hope they're not crunching, because, goddamn, I don't know. They figured it out. If they're not crunching, they figured out how to make some of the highest quality animation on the market.
No, and it's crazy to think about, because I think I remember reading near the end of Futurama, the production cycle per episode was a full year. Like, really? They were working them simultaneously. They were doing them all at the same time. But it took them a whole year to get through it. And I'm like, and that animation, while, you know, good, is not nearly the same level. I mean, most of the shit's got to be at least a little hand-drawn or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say, I guess, I don't know. I would assume a large portion of it is.
And then, I mean, they also have some CG, which is kind of a little bit bugging sometimes, but...
Yeah, 3D in anime is always kind of sketch, but I think it works fine. It was for, like, the belt thing that she was using.
Yeah, so I don't think that... I didn't really have any problem with it in this season. It was a little egregious in the Mugen Train.
Yeah, sure.
Where, like, he's all, like, bubbling in pink, and it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad you liked it. I'm excited for more of the series, because, man, it's just quality. All right, so you got two movies left?
Yep.
All right, I got two things, so we'll go back to back here. I got to see Top Gun Maverick, baby.
Hell yeah.
Perk this movie. So fucking good. Some of the best action I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's
all practical,
because...
too.
That's because it's all practical. Yeah. Like, it is insane. Like, you truly feel like you're in the jets with them. Like, I think its sound design is also a massive factor of that. But the shots they got are just fucking awesome. The actors are actually experiencing G-force, you know, in these shots. And you can tell. Like, they're fucking hurting. And it's just so good. I think the story that they finally chose... Because Tom Cruise was saying, like, he didn't want to do a sequel unless they had a good story. I think the stories they chose was definitely worth telling. It's in the trailer, something is a spoiler, but just everything that happens between Maverick and Goose's son made me cry. I cried multiple times this movie. But yeah, if you are an action fan, you have to see this movie. Like, Tom Cruise, like, doing the Mission Impossible movie, the recent Mission Impossible, and this, like, he is a master of action choreography, him and his team. Like, they're just so fucking good. Yeah, I don't have enough good things to say about it. Like, it is just a absolutely incredible, like, roller coaster ride that I'd recommend to anybody. Like, yeah, it's phenomenal. Perk, you gotta go see this movie.
Well, see, but you realize what you've done.
What have I done?
You've praised this movie so highly that bleeds in through the director to you saying that Tron Legacy is a great movie.
It is a great movie. Tron Legacy is a great movie.
It's not a great movie. It's a very fun time.
It's a very good movie. I'm also great. It's a very good movie. I love Tron Legacy. I have a soft spot in my heart for that movie. I watched it not that long ago, and I'm like, this movie is very good. If only for the Daft Punk soundtrack.
Oh, the score alone, yeah.
Yeah, but I really like that movie. Except for CG Jeff Bridges. That's horrible.
Time.
But yeah, he's going to be on the big screen, man.
Plan to. I'm going to try and get out maybe this weekend.
Hell yeah.
But it'll be a tough competition. Because one of my friends is the biggest Bob's Burgers fan of all time.
Maybe so a little double feature. Back to back.
Yeah, back to back. I mean, Top Gun can't be 3 hours long, right? Surely not. It's
two? I'll double check that for you. I'll double check while you tell me about the next movie you watch.
Yeah, right. We'll go with Jackass Forever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I watched at the airport in LA.
Are you a Jackass guy?
I love Jackass. Yes, it's just the base level of comedy. It just hits the spot. It's like the lowest level possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this movie, there's literally just a scene where just, like, it's just Steve-O's dick, and then they just cover it in bees. It's just Steve-O's dick covered in bees. Like, it's just, even today, it's still just simple enough and stupid enough, and it works. And, I mean, I had an absolute blast watching Jackass Forever. I look forward to watching the documentary part, yep. 4.5, which I think is on Netflix now.
Yep, it is, yep. Yeah, I am not a Jackass person, but I've heard that Forever is very, very good. Like, it's ranked really highly, it seems, among the pantheon of Jackass movies.
It really is. There's a lot of dick. there's a lot of penis.
Sometimes you gotta do it, you know?
Literally, the opening scene is, a miniature city. And one of the guys' dick is dressed up like a dinosaur, just like walking around.
That's why I don't watch Jackass. But
I mean, if you want to watch, if you like Jackass, you will like the new Jackass. It is that simple. If you've never liked Jackass, don't bother.
There you go. It's that easy. The last thing I watched was Norm Macdonald's posthumanist special that just released on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Called Nothing Special. Do you know the story behind this?
No.
So, Norm Macdonald, I'll call him legendary comedian, stand-up on SNL, done a lot of stand-up. He died of cancer recently, and he didn't really tell anybody about it except for his immediate family, so no one really knew. But back in 2020, I believe, he, obviously he couldn't go out and do shows because of COVID, and he was about to go in for a procedure that might not have gone well. So he said, you know what, I want to just get everything out before this procedure just in case. So he recorded a special literally just at his computer in his living room, did it in one take. It's about 50 minutes of just him talking and doing a set. And then the procedure went okay. And then, so he never released it. But then when he passed, I remember it was earlier this year, end of last year, they decided they'd want to release this as kind of his last kind of deal, because he was able to perform in between that time. So, yeah, this is kind of his last last hurrah of material. And I'll say I'm not a massive Norm Macdonald comedy fan. I've enjoyed him on Conan appearances. So they're good friends, and I think he's funny in those. I haven't listened to a lot of his actual stand-up specials. So I'd want to say I'm coming in as a person who knows a lot about Norm and is a massive fan of his. I think the special is interesting because on one hand, there's a lot of jokes, and I think they're pretty good. I laughed a few times, but I wasn't laughing the entire time. I think some of the bits don't work great. He has a trans joke in there, and it's okay. it wasn't even that funny, but it's, I don't know. I'm kind of sick of that, but he had some good bits, and I think he had some funny stuff, but also a lot of the stuff doesn't really play as comedy, knowing that he's dying and that he did pass. He talks about like death, and he never says in the special, like, if you're watching this, I'm dead, or like, I'm dying. He sure doesn't mention that at all. It's just, but you can tell the way he's talking about certain topics and the topics he is talking about that he is, and knowing that he's dying, it's very interesting. And yeah, a lot of the things played more as sad as opposed to funny. So yeah, it was an interesting watch. And then after he finished it, they actually had six of his friends there to kind of talk about it afterwards. So it was Conan, Dave Chappelle, Dave Letterman, David Spade, Adam Sandler, and why am I blanking our name? Molly
Shannon.
I want to make sure. No. Yes. Yeah, Molly Shannon. Who's on SNL with him.
Yep.
And I think the conversation was pretty good. I'd heard some of it before, just because I'd heard Conan talk about Norm passing, and he really read that same stuff. But there's some nice stories in there, and just talking about kind of the man he was and his, you know, successes and also shortcomings. Like, he had a pretty serious, like, gambling addiction. So I talk about that. My only critique with it is that Letterman would not stop fucking asking, how do you think this special would have done if it had been live? Like, in front of an audience. He asked that question, I'm joking, like, 5 times. And I'm like, Letterman, shut the fuck up. Like, it wasn't live. Get over it. But yeah, so all this is to say that I think it's a very interesting piece of, like, you know, comedy. And I think if you're interested in the story behind it, that I would recommend watching it. But as a pure comedy special, I didn't laugh as much as I would have liked to. Like, it wasn't as enjoyable to me as other specials that I've liked a lot. So, yeah, super interesting. It's a, you know, sad story, obviously, about a man, but I think he had a very long legacy, and I think that shows. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot it about it and haven't yet, but did you watch the extended cut inside Bo Burnham?
Not yet. It's on my to-do list.
Yeah, me too.
It just came out, like, yesterday, right?
Yep.
No, definitely. Or the day before, well, or something. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I got one more.
Last thing yet.
Yeah, I watched The Lost City.
Oh, with
Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Right.
And Daniel Radcliffe. And every part of that movie is, like, copy pasted from a different adventure movie. And all the humor is, like, low, like, bottom shelf humor. And I really liked it, because I knew
exactly
I knew exactly what I was getting into. I'm like, this is gonna be super lame, just like adventure movie with Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock, and they're super charming, and it works.
How was their chemistry? Because I heard some people say they didn't like it because they thought they had, like, zero chemistry.
I thought they were pretty good. Okay. I just enjoyed it. It's just kind of a fun movie.
Okay.
Just, like, goony bad guy and, like, two misfits out in the woods. And, yeah, it's just good. Like, there's... you're not going to be raving about this for months. You're going to probably forget it within the week.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's just, like, a fun time. Good way to kill a couple hours.
Okay. I'm never going to watch it, but I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. Well, now you know, because you probably would have lived on thinking, like, that's the worst movie ever made, when actually, it is a very fine movie.
I was thinking that. A lot of people said it was horrible, so I was
like, I liked it. I had a good time.
There you go. By the way, Top Gun Maverick, 2 hours, 10 minutes.
Okay.
And it does not fully feel like that. It flies by.
No, all right, fair enough.
But yeah, there we go. That is our show for this week. Hope you enjoyed our review and our bonus reviews. Next week, we are watching a movie that I should have watched a long time ago, but I did not.
Absolute classic.
Bridesmaids, which is currently streaming on Hulu. We're following Kristen Wiig over there. So, yeah, if you want to listen to us next week, watch Bridesmaids and then listen to our review of it. And that's on Hulu. So there you go. That's our show. But until next time, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.